In the U.S., MCI Mail is famous for its gateways. They have gateways to telex, to fax, to, you know, and they were some of the earlier ones. Now, they seem to have learned the lesson early on that every time somebody uses a gateway, they sent a message and they've discharged their customer. That's a good thing. And I guess I'm trying to understand why so many PTTs have problems with that. You would think increasing traffic would be a good thing for a PTT.
The reason is the mentality. The PTT doesn't want to acknowledge that the internet is a big network. They just don't want to buy into that. That's the whole problem.
They're too busy building the intelligent network and they don't realize it's here already.
And even if you put the convincing figures, I went with a, you know, this famous DNS host count tables and so on. I put it in front of them. I put all the figures in front of them, showed them the ISOC news and Larry Landwaber's connectivity metrics and whatever. They just don't believe it. Because there's no PTT involved, they say it can't be a real network. Don't forget that in Europe, by definition, ServNet is not a service provider. A service provider is only a PTU.
Okay, so ServNet is the research network provider for the Netherlands, but
yes.
you're not a service provider by PTT rules.
By PTT
you're
rules.
You're a value-added network? Is that
something like that. John Postel explained it to me. He said, you're not a service provider. You're too busy providing a service. You can't be a service provider. I think that's probably explaining the mentality of the PTT. They just have to learn what the internet is. And one of the other issues you see in this is one of the current political issues that probably some other people you interview will be talking about, is the European multi-protocol backbone.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the hot political issues in Europe.
Give us a 30-second version of what this multi-protocol backbone is.
Okay, well, we got a running backbone in Europe. It's called EBONE. It's working fantastically, but it's based on everybody cooperates, everybody puts in a little bit of money, who uses the network, and together we can build a backbone.
EBONE, a voluntary consortium of various
exactly.
service providers.
You wrote about it in your book, that's how it came to be. And that's still a very good effort. I mean, right at this moment that we're talking, my boss is in a meeting about EBONE, getting the money on the table for the coming year. And beside that, there is an initiative by the European community, the Commission, in putting on a European backbone, and the original idea was to put it into place based on X25,
okay.
2 megabit X25.
So EMPB is 2 megabit X25 infrastructure for European research network.
Exactly, that was what it was meant to be.
Okay.
But Kees Neggers, my boss, he jumped in from the beginning and said, well, if you're going to do X25, forget about it. We won't even want to connect, and probably apart from the UK and Germany and maybe one or two others, nobody will connect at all. You'll have to make it multi-protocol. That means you have to support CLNS2 and you will have to support TCP/IP. And that was a major problem, of course, because the European Commission, especially at that time, was very anti-IP. They turned around on this and it takes time. It's a government institution, so it takes time. But by now they've seen light and they rewritten the specifications for EMPB to include IP and CLNS.
Okay, now are these services offered on top of X25 or are they separate?
No, they are to be delivered separate from X25, so not on top of X25. Real multi-protocol. And now they put out a call for tender. And there the first mistake was made, in my view, that the call for tender was put out and there were IP specifications there in which no European IP expert I know of has been asked to participate. I think that at least this should have gone to RIPE or something like that. But okay, maybe in the hurry and it was summertime or something like that, there will have been an excuse. And the Dutch PTT has won the tender, has gotten the contract. And that's already quite a long time ago, half a year by now. And up to now, we still haven't seen any single IP connection. And what's even worse, in my view, we haven't seen much of the PTT to show up and and show interest in IETFs or RIPE meetings and show that they're really concerned about their lack of knowledge on how to do international IP. I mean, that's not something you can think of behind your desk. You have to go out and get yourself involved in this whole world of IETF and RIPE and stuff like that to be able to operate.
Is that the basic problem, that the PTTs have just been operating in the wrong world? Because they certainly go to meetings. They go to the CCITT meetings and the ISO meetings. They've just invested in the wrong meetings. Is that what happened?
Well, probably from their own point of view, they haven't. I would even wonder, even from our point of view, can you say that they've invested in the wrong meetings? I mean, they started out making a specification, I think, with the right frame of mind, essentially, to build global networking. By now, a lot of people are convinced that this isn't working out. The CCITT ISO model isn't working out. And the PTTs will have to change over. You see with a lot of PTTs in Scandinavia, they make the switch over quite easily and quite fast. And I expect the rest of the PTTs will come around, but I wouldn't call it really a big mistake that they've always been investing in the wrong thing. I mean, I think every company makes a decision for a long-term plan, and they invest in that. And every now and then one of these plans, long-term plans, falls out wrong, and it's hard to say then that you have been investing in the wrong thing.
It was a temporary detour. It's kind of like the corporation that spends a lot of time with the MVS operating system, and after a while decides that downsizing is maybe another option worth investigating. You think the CTT is an X25?
In Dutch we would call it, I don't know how you translate it, something like proceeding insight or something. You know, your insight in matters changes. And for some of the PTTs, that goes slower than for other PTTs, but they will come around eventually, I think. And we don't have, I think one of the things to defend, well, I was a bit harsh maybe, but one of the things is that for the Dutch PTT, for example, the big bucks are still in X25. I mean, all the banks in Holland, all the insurance companies, they want a closed X25 network, closed user groups. And that's where they get the big bucks, not from
closed IP networks and closed groups there, huh?
they will have to get a feel for the fact that there is a market in IP, and we can see that by now because with the RIPE NCC, ServNet is distributing the B and C class numbers for the Netherlands. And so we got a pretty good insight in who in the Netherlands is planning for IP connectivity. And we see that there's a lot of potential customers there for the PTT. At least there's a lot of customers that ServNet is not allowed to serve, because we got a limited group of which we are allowed to sell services to. We were restricted to the academic and research community.
Is there a commercial service provider in the Netherlands for IP networking?
Not really. NLNet is providing IP network service.
NLNet is the local EUNet affiliate,
yes,
right?
And they're selling IP service to anybody, but I wouldn't call them a real commercial service provider. Commercial service provider is somebody who's out to gain money from it, and NLNet is not. They're just trying to spread around the network as much as possible, and they're doing a very good job at that. And ServNet and LNet is, most of its NLNet's customers are the smaller companies with UHP connection, but there's a lot of IP connectivity there too. ServNet is aiming for the research and academic environment, including the commercial research, by the way. We're restricted to research and academic, but Shell, for example, research is one of our customers. The biggest one, by the way, is Elsevier Science Publishers, which North Holland Publishing Company and stuff like that.
Emails with the whole
world, all these articles that before were delivered by, you know, paper mail, then had to go out to referees by paper mail, and so everything now goes by email, which makes the pass-through time has been shortened from something like half a year to something like a couple of months. So there's still an enormous possibility in the Netherlands, and not only in the Netherlands, in most countries, for commercial IP services. Yeah.
This has been Geek of the Week. brought to you by Sun Microsystems and by O'Reilly and Associates. To purchase an audio cassette or audio CD of this program, send electronic mail to radio@ora.com. Internet Talk Radio, Flame of the Internet.